Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Usually, you'd call this the city that never sleeps. In my eyes, it does nothing but sleep on the rising criminal organizations, rolls over and turns a blind eye to the marshal and deputy's abuses of power, and it hits the snooze button on the blatant corporate corruption, bleeding into the downs from the skylines.
Stranger, what are you doing?
Me? Well, I'm just an independent investigator, not a detective, chasing leads and uncovering truths like a metaphor that I'll think of in a minute. There's not a stone or a metal sheet I leave unturned. I'm a man of pure will, sheer ambition.
Okay, no. No, you are not.
I could be, though.
Sure, but why?
Kenny's. And I'm also taking credit now, since UAU started cashing out 150% on the coin.
That's it.
Well,
the amount of soul-crazed cases are skyrocketing!
And what? Are we just gonna ignore these new guys?
The media is lying about it. Ensign is covering it up.
There's been a change.
There will be loyalty before money and mercy.
In SCT, everyone's a player, but only a few get to deal the cards.
Someone is playing at a very dangerous game.
I wonder if you're a detective, or just another piece of the puzzle waiting to be solved.
I've never seen a pair of hands that weren't stained red in this city.
Oh, we got ourselves a killer over here.
Money talks, but power whispers, so listen carefully, stranger.
You were so sure you knew everything. But where has that led you?
You wanna go again?
You cannot stop us.
What even are you?
You're still nothing but a lie. A fake. Sunken Star, Ensign, they will crush you.
Mayday,
what
mayday,
do you know?
We're going down!
Answer me!
Some answers get you killed.
I'll break every bone in your body.
In SAT, everyone has a story. Some are just better at hiding it.
Who are you? What?
A man called Stranger. Available everywhere.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Mystery Frequency. Today we have one of the very first sci-fi radio dramas, Buck Rogers. The series ran from 1932 to 1947, with a few breaks in between. The character has been in movies, TV, books, comics, and clearly has a very strong fan base. On another note, keep sending those questions in for our one-year anniversary show. You can do that through my email, mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com, my Twitter, mysteryfreak, F-R-E-Q, my Instagram, mysteryfrequency, or the comments below on Spotify. And while you're there, please check out the polls. It's a great way to get feedback about the show. And as always, please follow, review, and rate the podcast. And check out the links in the description below for everything related to the show. Websites, shops, email, and my social media links. And with that, please enjoy the show.
Rogers in the 25th century! Buck Rogers is back on the air. Buck and Wilma and all their fascinating friends and mysterious enemies in the super scientific 25th century. This program is brought to you by the makers of Popsicle Fudgicle and Creamsicle, those delicious frozen confections on a stick. Now I have a swell surprise for you. The famous winner of the typical American boy contest has now become Popsicle Pete. And here's a message from him.
Hello, everybody. I sure am glad to meet you. And boy, am I glad I was picked to be the typical American boy. Because now I'm Popsicle Pete. I always wanted to be on the radio. And now I have a chance to tell you about some wonderful presents you can get free. Gee, you ought to see them. Hundreds of them. You get them just for saving bags from Nifty Popsicle, Fudgicle, and Creamsicle. Some gifts. Even better than Christmas. You can get a wristwatch, a movie camera, table tennis, a wallet, a doll. Gee, lots of gifts. Just save the bags from Popsicle, Creamsicle, and Fudgicle on a handy stick. Boy, do they taste good.
Wholesome, too, and nourishing. Made fresh every day of the finest ingredients. The biggest 5 cents worth anywhere.
And say, kids, get the free illustrated Popsicle gift list at your ice cream store. A free coupon comes with it, worth 10 bags.
And now for Buck Rogers and his thrilling adventures 500 years in the future. As you probably know, Buck was born right here in our own times, in this 20th century. And the story of how he got started on his amazing adventures so far in the future is mighty interesting. But instead of telling you about it, let's turn the dial that'll project us ahead in time and find out all about it that way. Now, the capital of 25th century America is Niagara. And there it is that Dr. Heuer, the great scientist, has his marvelous laboratory. In one room of it, he's working on a strange-looking device that sends a peculiar greenish light down onto a human figure lying on a table before him. Shall we join him there? Okay, then, here we go, 500 years into the future.
The ray is putting you to sleep. To sleep. Relax and sleep. Sleep. Sleep.
Good. The ray's had its effect. Now I can go ahead. Yes, come in. Oh, hello, Wilma.
Hello, Dr. Hewitt. Hi, why don't you have more light in here? Coming in from outside, I can hardly see a thing in this spooky greenish glow.
Part of a little experiment I'm conducting.
Oh.
But tell me, have you seen anything of Black Barney here in Niagara?
Why, no. Hasn't given up his job of Prime Minister on Mars, has he?
Oh, no. But one of his Martian rocket ship factories has worked out a new control device for me. I rather hoped he'd get here with it today.
Oh.
Meantime, I've made ready for a final test of this little invention here. Like to stay and see it?
Oh, I'd love to, Doctor, and you know it. But I just dropped in to find out if you'd seen any sign. Oh.
What's the matter?
Doctor, what's happened to him?
Eh?
Is he all right? Doctor.
I see.
What's happened to him? Why is he lying here on the table?
Don't worry, Wilma.
Don't worry? Doctor, what are you...
He is offered to be the subject of my test. That's all.
But then, why is he...
simply lying here, comfortably asleep, under the influence of my electrohypnotic ray.
Oh. I was afraid something had happened to him.
Not a thing. Surely you don't think for a minute that I'd do anything
to... No, of course not. But the electrohypnotic ray... Are you sure this experiment won't hurt him in any way?
Oh, absolutely sure.
Well, you can't blame me for being a little shocked for a minute. But... what's that thing up near his head that looks like a miniature power plant with a loudspeaker on top of it?
That, Wilma, is my latest scientific achievement. My newly perfected electro-hypno-mentalophone.
Your what?
Well, you remember the mentaloscope, don't you?
Sure. When you put a person under the mentaloscope, all his memories showed up on a sort of moving picture screen.
That's right. And this is an adaptation of it.
Oh.
With this, the electro-hypno-mentalophone... the memories of the subject will come to us verbally, through the loudspeaker here. Provided, of course, that my calculations have been correct.
Huh. Sort of read a person's mind aloud, you mean?
Yes, that's it exactly.
Where do you ever get ideas for things like this, Dr. Heuer? Surely people don't just barge in and ask you to work them out.
Hardly. The scientific research and experimentation that led up to the development of this machine was started way back in the 20th century.
Why, I always thought that the people back in the 20th century weren't much better than savages in what they knew about scientific things.
Oh, not at all, Wilma. Oh, we owe a great deal to the scientists of those days. Were it not for the groundwork laid by men like Einstein, Fitzgerald, Compton, Millikan, and the rest, Oh, we'd be without a great many of the things we have today.
They never really got anywhere with rocket ship development or anything like that, though, did they?
Well, successful rocket flight depends on two things that have been brought into existence only recently.
One of them must be inertron.
Yes, inertron. The material that defies gravity and makes it possible to lift a big spaceship off the Earth and away from its terrific gravitational pull without too much waste of power.
And what's the other?
Impervium. The only metal capable of withstanding the high temperature of rocket blasts for any length of time. But now, let's go ahead with this experiment.
Yes, let's. And you can tell me how this apparatus works as we go along, just what it does to them.
Well, not very much to tell you about the apparatus itself, Wilma. Except that here, in this little pad under his head, is an extremely sensitive and high-frequency response piezoelectric oscillator of quite complicated design.
Yes, I guess so.
Yes. And I've succeeded in tuning it to receive the minute electronic impulses that emanate from his brain.
Yeah.
Through the medium of a super-radiating protonoformer. In other words, we're able to obtain sufficient amplification of the impulse output to register audibly through a process of thermionic note magnification. That's all there is to it.
I think I'll understand it better when I see this thing work.
I should be very much disappointed if it doesn't.
Oh, don't you worry about that, Doctor. Your inventions always work.
I have been rather lucky in most of my experiments, haven't I?
Lucky?
Well, now let's proceed with this one.
All right. Anything I can do to help?
No, thanks. First of all, we'll have to switch in the electroniformer.
Gives the electroniformer a sort of eerie sound.
Yes. And now, when I switch on this microphone and speak to him, my words will be registered directly on his brain. Not through his ears, you understand, but directly on his brain.
Uh-huh.
And if we're successful, we'll receive his subconscious response through the loudspeaker.
Go ahead, Doctor.
Now. Young man, what is your name? I said, what is your name?
Buck Rogers.
Wilma, it worked.
But, Doctor...
My invention's a success.
But, Doctor, what happened?
It works even better than I thought it would.
He didn't move his lips, though. And how could we hear him talk if he didn't move his lips?
He'd read his mind aloud, Wilma. He'd read his mind aloud.
It sounded like his real voice, though.
Well, of course. Because he thinks of speech in the same manner that he utters it.
Great day, it doesn't seem possible. Ask him some more questions.
Yes, yes, by all means. Listen. Buck, you were born back in the 20th century, were you not? Do you see, Wilma? His memory's preserved intact.
May I ask him a question?
Surely. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Buck. Buck, how did you happen to come to the 25th century?
One day in the year 1919, I was in the lower workings of an abandoned mine near the city of Pittsburgh.
Yes?
All of a sudden, the support that held up the walls and ceiling gateway and the whole thing caved in on me.
Yes?
Some kind of peculiar gas was released. It put me to sleep. It kept me in a state of suspended animation for 500 years. Then the ground shifted and let in fresh air, and I woke up.
Well, how did you know you were in suspended animation for 500 years?
Instead of the year 1919, it was the year 24-something. To be exact, it was 24...
How did you know what year it was?
I was told about it by Lieutenant Wilma Daring. A beautiful girl soldier I met when I first did it.
Oh, then you knew Wilma Deering.
Oh, I certainly do. She's the finest and bravest girl who ever lived. Why, Wilma...
Buck Rogers?
Yes?
Did you find anything new and different when you first came into the 25th century?
A great deal, thanks to Dr. Hewer.
Dr. Hewer?
The greatest scientist who ever lived.
What's this?
Nowhere in the universe is there a scientist who's done so much good for humanity.
Wait a minute, Buck.
Yes?
Forget Dr. Hewer and go on with what you were saying.
But he's the man who invented the first rocket ship that took us to the moon. And it was that trip that proved the practicability of interplanetary flight.
Practicability of interplanetary flight? Nothing wrong with this machine, Doctor.
Where else have you gone by rocket ship, Buck?
First to Mars, where we helped King and Aldo put down an invasion by the Martian tiger men.
Yes?
Then to Saturn. And the Saturnian moon, Venus, Jupiter, and even far off Pluto.
Which planet did you find most interesting?
Well, that's hard to say. Jupiter has the biggest field for exploration simply because it's so much larger than the rest of the planets.
Very true. Do you expect to do any more rocketing around through outer space?
Well, there's nothing else I'd rather do, sir.
Well, Wilma, Do you like my little contraption?
Oh, it's wonderful, Doctor. I told you it would work.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to ask Buck before I turn off this green ray?
Let's wake him up and see if he remembers anything that happened during the experiment.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. Come on, Buck. Wake up.
Huh?
I say, wake up. You've been asleep.
Asleep?
Uh-huh.
Oh, hello, Wilma.
Hello.
Hey, where'd you come from? What are you doing here?
I've just been let in on the test of Dr. Hewer's
electro-hypno-mentalophone.
Yeah.
Oh, doggone it. Instead of helping you with your test, I fell asleep. Say, I'm awfully sorry, Doctor.
Sorry?
Oh, yes, sir. I was going
to
help
you. I put you to sleep with this machine.
Oh, really?
That's right.
Well, I guess that's one on me, then. How did it work?
Even better than I expected.
Oh, good.
Oh, it was marvelous, Buck. You told us your whole life history without even opening your mouth.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
it's all right, Buck. You didn't say a single thing you shouldn't have.
Oh, thank goodness for that. Let's put Wilma under it.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, you have to do something for excitement around here. Come on, Wilma.
Oh, you're never satisfied unless there's something exciting going on, are you, Buck?
Well, it's not as bad as all that, Doctor, but things have been sort of slow around here lately. And
wait until we start making tests of the new type of gyrocosmic relativator I've just devised.
A new one?
Isn't that the equipment on a rocket ship that makes it possible to take off without much loss of time for pickup?
That's right. And without the usual physical effects of too quick acceleration. It removes from your ship the normal effects of weight and inertia and momentum and the like.
Well, how have you improved the relativator, Doctor?
Buck, if this new instrument does what I hope it will, there'll be practically no limit to the speed of a rocket ship immediately upon taking off.
Good night. Imagine getting into the control cabin, opening the power lever, and going a couple of thousand miles an hour just like that.
That's exactly what we'll be able to do, Wilma.
Boy, that hardly seems possible, does it? But when can we test it out, Doctor? Have you already got it installed on a rocket ship?
No, Buck. As a matter of fact, I don't even have it yet.
Huh?
Oh, it's been made up all right. The one we use for the test, but it isn't right here yet.
I don't understand, Doctor.
Well, yes, sir. Can't we get it here? The sooner we can get it and start trying it out, the sooner we can break the monotony of just sitting around here doing...
Wait, Buck. Listen.
Oh, yes, Doctor. I hear it, too.
Well, yeah.
Hear it?
Yes, sir. But what under the sun is it?
Look here, out of the window.
Look, here's Wilma. And it's coming right down this way. Wilma!
Oh.
Say, Buck's wish for excitement certainly came true in a hurry. Great day. I wonder what that was. And I certainly hope he and Wilma and Dr. Hewer are all right. What do you say, Pete?
Well, I know what would make me feel all right. A great big frozen fudgicle. Jiminy, can you imagine anything better than that fresh, creamy chocolate fudge frozen ice cold on a stick?
Fellas and girls, what's the best, purest, biggest nickel's worth you can get? Right, a fudgicle. Delicious and full of healthful energy. Made only from pure milk products. Swell to eat and easy to digest. And don't forget to save the bags for those wonderful free prizes. Exciting gifts like cameras, dolls, sweatshirts, gorgeous jewelry, and lots of other things.
Now listen, kids. Be sure to get your free popsicle gift list at your ice cream store. Don't take no for an answer.
Buck Rogers in the 25th century.
Buck Rogers is on the air, brought to you by the makers of Popsicle, Fudgicle, and Creamsicle, those delicious frozen confections on a stick. And now a message from the famous winner of the Typical American Boy Contest, Popsicle Pete.
Hello, everyone. Say, I wish you were here at the studio. What a room full of gifts you'd see. All for you. Roller skates, table tennis, cameras, fishing tackle, jewelry, dolls. Gosh, hundreds of things. You know how to get them? Just eat popsicle, creamsicle, and fudgicle. And save the bags.
Well, could anything be easier? Enjoy a great, big, delicious popsicle, fudgicle, or creamsicle every day. And get wonderful gifts for the bags. A mother knows these frozen confections on a handy stick are pure and good for you. Made fresh every day. And boy, do they taste good. Refreshing. Nourishing. So big and only 5 cents.
Don't forget, save bags every day for swell gifts. Get that wonderful free popsicle gift list in your ice cream store. Tells you how many bags you need for the gift you want. And it's got a free coupon worth 10 bags.
And now for another thrilling episode of Buck Rogers.
Back in 1919, you know, Buck was in the lower workings of an abandoned mine near the city of Pittsburgh when suddenly the walls caved in and a peculiar gas caused him to be held in a state of suspended animation for 500 years. Finding himself in the strange and exciting world of the 25th century, Buck quickly adapted himself to the use of rocket-powered spacecraft and other marvelous scientific developments that would seem almost impossible in our present day. With Wilma Deering and Dr. Heuer, Buck has visited Mars, Venus, and Jupiter, Saturn, and even far-off Pluto. His life has been just one amazing adventure after another. Now, in our last episode, you remember, Buck, Wilma, and Dr. Heuer were discussing a new instrument for use on a rocket plane when suddenly... But let's join them. They're in Dr. Heuer's laboratory. Okay? Then here we go, 500 years into the future.
Yes, Wilma? If this new instrument does what I feel sure it will, there'll be practically no limit to the speed a rocket ship can attain immediately upon taking off.
Good night. Imagine getting into the control cabin, opening the power lever, and going a couple of thousand miles an hour just like that.
Well, when can we test it out, Dr. Heuer? Have you already got it installed on a rocket ship?
No, Buck. As a matter of fact, I don't even have it yet.
Huh?
One's been made up, all right. One we'll use for the test, but it isn't right here yet.
I don't understand, Doctor.
Oh, yes, sir. Can't we get it here? The sooner we can start trying it out, the sooner we can break the monotony of just sitting around here doing
that. Wait, Buck. Listen.
Yes, Doctor, I hear it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Hear it?
Yes, sir, but what under the sun is it?
Look here, out of the window.
Look. Good heavens, Wilma. It's coming right down this way. Wilma.
Look. Night.
Hey, come on, folks. Whoever's in that rocket ship that crashed out there is going to need help.
Yes, Buck.
Come on.
Hang with you, Buck. It looked to me as though it deliberately cracked up right outside this laboratory.
Well, you're right, Buck. It certainly didn't look like a ship out of control.
Well, you can hardly call it an ordinary landing. And we'd better give whoever's in it... Hey, look, it's a Martian ship.
Right. See, the metal door on the side of it is open.
Wait. Wait, it's all right.
Wait.
All right, Doctor. Well, the people in that ship
Wait,
must be...
Wait, Buck. And listen.
Everything now is just exactly like I told you it would be. Here we are, safe and sound, and right on time.
Black Barney!
Oh, well, I'll be doggone.
Well, I still don't think we needed to land that fast, Mr. Barney.
And Willie's with him.
You see? He made me skin my knee against the control board.
Well, what difference does that make? Had to get down here into a hurry, didn't we?
My knee hurts, too.
And the only way was to land in a hurry, so as we... Huh?
See?
Say, you did kind of get scratched up there now, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Here, Willie, you just put your arm around my shoulder and I'll carry you right straight over to a hospital, yeah.
Oh, it didn't hurt that bad, Mr. Barney.
What do you mean it ain't hurt that bad?
Only I just thought maybe you didn't care.
Oh.
And anyhow, what about that important package you have on board here for Dr. Heuer?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, sir, we better get that gyro thing in Dr. Heuer's laboratory right this minute.
We'll take care of it, Barney.
Huh? Oh, hello, Dr. Heuer.
Hello.
Hello, Willie.
How are
you? Say, Doctor, how'd you know we've got here?
Oh, don't worry, Barney. After that landing, the whole city knows you're here.
You should say so. It's a wonder you didn't break your neck.
Well, Dr. Heuer was in a hurry to get a hold of that gyro thing we brung down from Mars, so I figured the quicker we landed with it, the better.
Well, I hope it's all right after that landing.
Oh, sure it is, Doctor. I got it stowed away in the shock-insulated storage cabin.
Fine. Then my suggestion is that we fly right over to the spaceport. We'll have the gyrocosmic relativator installed on a ship I have waiting for it over there.
Oh, good. Then we can go right ahead and test it out.
Yes.
Well, Willie here needs to expose his bruised knee to a healing ray for a few minutes.
Oh, that's all right, Lieutenant Wilmer.
No, sir. Now, Willie, you do what Lieutenant Wilmer says to do.
It doesn't hurt, though. Much.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Barney... My little rocket roadster is parked out back of the laboratory building.
Yeah?
So you and Willie hop into that and go over to the hospital where they'll take care of that bruised knee. And meanwhile, we three will take this ship of yours over to the spaceport and install the gyrocosmic relativator on whatever sort of craft Dr. Heuer has waiting for it over there.
Okay, Captain Rogers, we'll do it. Come on, Willie. Come
yes,
on.
Sir. See you later.
All right, Willie.
Only, wait a minute.
Listen, Doctor.
Yes, Barney?
Are you three going to try out that gyro thing, or are you going to have somebody else do it for you?
Why, we'll do it, of course.
Well, are you sure it won't be too dangerous, Doctor?
Dangerous? Oh, no.
Oh, don't you laugh, Doctor. If it'll do all the things you told me by radio it would do, why, it sounds to me like it might be dangerous or stuff.
No, not at all. And if you hustle over to the hospital with Willie, you can probably get out of the space force before we take off with it.
Yeah, okay, Doctor, you're okay. Come on, Willie.
Come on, Wilma, Doctor. Let's get aboard here and over to the spaceport.
Yes, Buck. Now is the time to test this gyro cosmic relativator is here. I'm almost as excited about it as you appear to be.
All set, Buck. There's the metal door.
Right. Want to take the controls, Doctor?
All right, Buck. Here we go.
This ship has been through that crash landing, would you?
Well, I don't know whether you've noticed it, Buck, but all these Martian ships are made very solidly.
Yeah, that's true. They're not very fast, but tough.
Well, isn't that perfectly natural? They're all made under Barney's supervision.
Right. But while you're steering us over to the spaceport, Doctor, I'm going to unpack the gyrocosmic relativator back here. Then we can begin installation on the other ship just as soon as we get there.
That's a good idea, Buck. And I'll radio ahead to Joe Martin there at the spaceport to have men and tools ready in order to save time. Calling Joe Martin at spaceport. This is Dr. Hewer calling Joe Martin at spaceport. Calling Joe Martin. That's it, Joe. Have your men fade the bank of photoelectric cells into that aperture in the main bank of rocket tubes.
Yes, sir, Dr. Yor.
All right, Al. Swing it right over here.
That's it. And as soon as you're through with the installation, have all this machinery cleared away.
Yes, sir. Should be all set for the tryout in a couple of minutes now, shouldn't it, Doctor?
Yes, Doc. Just as soon as they finish bolting down that side plate.
Oh, good. I'm anxious to get started with this experimental flight.
Wonder if Barney and Willie will get here before we take off. Barney apparently was quite interested in the gyrocosmic relativator.
Now, how about this power line, Doctor?
Oh, plug it into outlet number one there, Buck.
All right, sir. There it is, Doctor. It's all right. Uh-oh.
What's the matter, Buck?
Oh, nothing. I just scratched the back of my hand a bit, that's all.
All ready for the takeoff now, Doctor.
Fine, Joe. Tell your men to clear away and we'll go right up.
Yes, sir. They're on their way back to the main hangar now.
Good. Well, Buck,
yeah.
Wilma.
Say, look here, Buck. You've taken a really big piece of skin off the back of your hand here.
Oh, forget it. Let's get up in the air in this rocket ship.
Yes, sir, you're as bad as Willie was. Joe?
Yes, sir, Lieutenant?
Don't you have a healing ray in your office?
Oh, sure, Lieutenant.
Oh, forget it, Wilma. It'll be all right.
No, sir. Come on over to the office with me, and we'll put your hand under the healing ray for a minute.
Well, but... Oh, okay.
I'll go along with you so I can report to Central Radio Bureau and tell them where we are.
It's this way, right over here.
Silly to worry about a little scratch like this, Wilman. I'm anxious to get a law for that gyrocosmic relativator on the ship.
Right in here, Lieutenant Wilma. The healing ray's right there in the corner.
Here, Buck. Now put your hand under it while I turn it on.
Okay.
There now. And don't turn it off until your hand is completely healed.
No, let's see. Where's this radio unit of yours, Joe?
Right here, Doctor. Oh, excuse me, sir. There's a call coming in on it now. Central Spaceport. Joe Martin speaking.
Central Radio Bureau. You seen anything of Dr. Hewer? We've been trying to locate him all over the city.
Why, sure. He's right here. Here, Doctor, this call's for you.
Oh, thank you. Is it Dr. Hewer?
Urgent message for you, Dr. Hewer. The captain of the rocket police.
Yes?
Says that one of the air guards has just discovered that your laboratory has been forcibly entered and completely ransacked.
What? Why, I just left there a few minutes ago.
Well, it was only discovered a couple of minutes ago. Shall I tell the captain you'll be right over?
No. No, as long as the rocket police are already there, no more damage will be done. I'm engaged in a very important experiment here that I can't leave at the moment. But I'll go back to my laboratory just as soon as I've finished with it. Meantime, they'll know what measures need to be taken and can proceed accordingly.
Yes, sir.
Signing off.
Signing off.
Well, I can't say that I like that.
Say, maybe we'd better postpone this test, Doctor.
No, Buck. It's the most important thing we have at hand right now, and we'd better go through with it.
Well, whatever you say.
But I wonder who could have done it.
Surely Black Barney wouldn't.
No. Powerful old Barney might absentmindedly pull a locked door off its hinges to get in, but certainly he wouldn't be involved in ransacking my laboratory.
And anyhow, he's probably out at the test ship wondering why we don't get started.
Yes. Well, then, come along. Let's...
Better wait a second, Doctor. It may be another call for you. Central Fit. Oh, yes, sir. It's for you, Captain Rogers.
Okay, Joe, thanks. Buck Rogers speaking.
Central Radio, Captain. Order from the Office of the President. The entire Rocket Police fleet has been placed at your disposal.
What?
All regular patrol ships are standing by awaiting your orders. You have full authority to proceed along any lines you may see fit.
Now, wait a minute. Is this because of the trouble at Dr. Hewer's laboratory?
No, sir. Something happened to one of the guards at the municipal prison. The automatic alarm system was completely wrecked, and the guard found lying in a storage room under the effects of a paralysis ray.
Great Scott, man. Who did it?
Killer Kane and Ardala. Now, they've escaped.
Doctor! Wilma, did you hear that?
Yes, Buck.
The worst criminals the solar system has ever known.
How could Kane and Ardala have escaped?
I don't know, but one thing's sure. We're going to have to call off this test flight.
Not at all, Buck.
Huh?
Now we must go ahead with it.
But, Doctor...
It'll take far more than the ordinary rocket ship to track down that pair. And that's just exactly what our gyrocosmic relativator will provide.
Dr. Hugh is right, Buck.
Okay, then. Come on, let's go.
There's the ship. Just waiting for us. And we can take off in it immediately.
Well, come on.
No, look!
There it goes! There goes our ship!
Well, somebody beat them to it. If you ask me, there's trouble ahead for our friends. Fellows and girls, is each day bringing you closer to those wonderful presents Popsicle Pete picked out for you? Are you saving bags for books and cameras, musical instruments, fishing tackle, dolls, jewelry, all the exciting things you want? Save bags every day from Popsicle, Fudgicle, and Creamsicle. You'll soon have just the gifts you want.
Say, kids. Did you ever try a creamsicle? Gee, it's wonderful. A great big chunk of delicious ice cream on a stick, coated with thick, chewy butterscotch.
Or you can get creamsicle coated with chocolate fudge or fresh fruit flavors. They're wholesome, too, full of the kind of nourishment we all need. And only a nickel for a great big creamsicle on a handy stick.
And don't forget to save the bags for those swell gifts.
Complete your roofing project now and save big at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements. Owens Corning Shingles are the number one brand trusted by contractors. Choose from over 40 options and get a limited lifetime warranty and up to 130 miles per hour wind warranty. Save big at Owens Corning Shingles. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Rogers in the 25th
century. Buck Rogers is on the air, brought to you by the makers of Popsicle, Fudgicle, and Creamsicle, those delicious frozen confections on a stick. Now here's a message from the famous winner of the Typical American Boy Contest, Popsicle Pete.
Hey, kids. You should see the camera I picked out for you as a Popsicle present. A real movie camera. You can get it free. Just save bags from Popsicle, Fudgicle, or Creamsicle. You get lots of swell gifts for those bags. Hundreds of them. Flashlight, Buck Rogers rocket ship, tennis racket, wristwatch, beautiful dolls, swell jewelry. Just save bags from Popsicle, Creamsicle, or Fudgicle on a handy stick.
And when you're warm, isn't it great to have a big, cold, delicious Popsicle, Creamsicle, or Fudgicle? Boy, are they good, and do they last. They're good for you, too. Pure and nourishing. And wrapped in those valuable gift bags. The biggest nickel's worth you can get.
Get the free Popsicle gift list in your ice cream store. It's got a free coupon on it worth 10 bags.
And now for more of the thrilling adventures of Buck Rogers in the 25th century. In our last episode, you remember, Buck, Wilma, and Dr. Hewer were at the Central Spaceport, getting ready to make a test flight in a rocket ship equipped with a new invention called the Gyrocosmic Relativator. But before they could board it, the huge craft took off right before their very noses. And as we pick up our story tonight, we find them there at the spaceport, standing where the ship was parked and trying to figure out who or what made it take off. Here we go, 500 years into the future.
Well, there There goes our rocket ship.
I don't understand.
Buck, who could have taken it?
Beyond me, Wilma.
As a new gyrocosmic Roosevelt is on board.
Right. That's why it was able to take off so quickly.
Then whoever took it must have known about that relativator.
You're probably right, Wilma. But Black Barney is the only person I've told anything.
Dr. Heuer.
Yes, Buck?
That message that came in from Central Radio Bureau just before we came outside here to get into that ship.
Till it came in our daylight.
Oh.
Sure. If they just escaped from the municipal prison, the one thing they need most is a rocket ship. And those two wouldn't waste any time getting it.
You're right.
Yes, sir. They probably came right out here to the spaceport, saw our test ship standing there with nobody around it, and hopped right off in it.
Look there.
Huh?
They must have used one of those little air roadsters there to fly over here.
Unless they all belong to the workmen out here.
They certainly couldn't have walked out here in such a short time.
Well, come along anyway.
Well, where to, Doctor?
We'll take one of these little roadsters and go back to my laboratory.
Okay, come on.
You think there's some connection between this business of the stolen rocket ship and the report about the ransacking of your laboratory?
Exactly. Get in, Wilma.
Right.
Go ahead, Doctor. I'll take the control.
Thank you. All ready, Buck?
Here we go.
Now, we may all be a little excited over the events of the past few minutes, but it's necessary that we take stock of the situation as calmly as possible and decide what we're going to do.
Good idea. The first thing that smacked of trouble was the call from Central Radio Bureau saying someone had broken into your laboratory right after we'd left.
Yes. And right on top of that came word of Kane and Ardela's escape.
Yeah. Immediately afterward, our experimental rocket ship took off right in front of our faces.
Then it's easy enough to figure out. Kane and Ardela broke out of prison, ransacked your laboratory for whatever equipment they could get hold of, raced over to the spaceport and made a quick takeoff.
Sounds logical enough to me.
I still don't see how they covered so much ground in such a short space of time.
All depends on how long they were free before they were missed, Doctor.
Yes. Well, we'll find out when we reach my laboratory. If the rocket police are still there.
Right. But I wonder what happened to Black Barney. He and Willie were going to meet us at the spaceport.
Like this new invention of Dr. Yours on this here new test ship don't work.
Yes, sir, Mr. Barney. I guess you're right, all right.
Sure. I got all the power on she'll take, and we ain't even begun to move yet.
What it was supposed to do was let us take off and be going 1,000 miles an hour right away, wasn't it?
Yeah. Take a look out of the metalloglass window and see if Lieutenant Wilmer and Captain Rogers and Dr. Yours are coming out of the spaceport office to get into this here thing.
Yes, sir.
Well, are they coming, Willie? Or did the big rocket blast scare them away? Well, what is it? What about it? Why don't you answer me?
Mr. Barney.
Willie, what's the matter? You look like you just saw a ghost.
Look out of the window, Mr. Barney.
Huh? Sure, I... Huh? Hey, Willie!
A couple of 100 miles below us.
But we didn't take off. You hear me? We didn't take off.
It must be Dr. Ewer's invention. That's what did it. Oh,
but it couldn't be on account of we didn't take off, I tell you. Yeah, that's what it is, sure.
Boy, that's wonderful. Certainly had me scared for a minute, though.
Yeah, me too. Why, Willie, you mustn't let a little thing like that scare you. And don't you see? What we're doing is making the first official flying out trip of the first rocket ship that was ever equipped with this new gyro thing.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, and we're saving them all the trouble of having to try it out.
I thought you said you wanted to take off in it before they could, so there wouldn't be any danger for them.
Yeah, that's right. For me and you to try it out is all okay on account of if it didn't work and the whole place blew up, it wouldn't make no difference. But I wouldn't want Lieutenant Wilmer or Captain Rogers or Dr. Ewer to take no chances with something new like this. So that's why we've done it.
Boy, certainly a great invention. How does it work?
Well, there's a lot of technical things about it I'm afraid you wouldn't understand, Willie.
Well, I can try to understand, Mr. Barney. Tell me.
Okay. Now, this here is a machine bolted down right here.
Uh-huh.
And the stuff on the side of it here is some kind of electric cells.
Photoelectric cells.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
But what are all these gears for?
Willie, that's what they call a sort of protono hypnoto deuterono tele radio and all that sort of stuff.
Huh?
You see, the gyrotama stuff on the super neutron goes around the ultra hyper thing that's connected with the physic elementary
Whoever ransacked this laboratory of mine certainly made a good job of it.
Yes, but Dr. Hewer.
Yes, Wilma?
Where are the rocket police? Weren't they going to wait here for us?
Oh, here's your answer, Wilma.
Yes?
What is it, Buck?
A note from their captain.
Here, sir. Oh, Dr. Hewer. I've just received word of Kanar Dela break from municipal prison. Believe that to be a logical place for us to center activities. Signed, Captain Barton. And to be honest with you, I'm glad that they aren't here.
Why do you say that, Doctor?
It'd be much easier for just the three of us to look around here and see what's been taken.
That's true. Well, where do we start?
Calling Dr.
Hewer. Cosmic radio.
It's Doc Barney calling.
I wonder where he can be calling from.
Well, Barney, this is Dr. Hewer.
Calling Dr. Hewer.
Well, yes, this is Dr. Hewer.
Well, Dr. Hewer, what do you think of me and Willie saving you folks a lot of risk and trouble, huh?
Where are you, Barney, and what are you doing?
Don't you know?
No, of course not.
Well, then guess. I dare you.
No, Barney, you tell me.
Why, Doctor, me and Willie's flying around up here in space trying out the new gyro thing of yours.
What? Listen, you mean you're in the test ship we had waiting for us at the spaceport?
Sure.
Well, but Barney, how...
Well, we figured the best way to keep you folks from risking yourselves by taking off with this new contraption was for us to do it.
Well, thank goodness it wasn't Shannon Ardela.
Barney.
Yeah?
Is everything all right? No trouble?
No, sir. The ship works fine. Of course it did. Took me and Willie a couple of minutes or two to get it all organized out.
How do you mean?
Well, when I first turned on the power, we didn't feel the ship moving under us. It was just the same thing as though we had the rocket power on, only we didn't have it on. Just like we was being held down by a big rope or stuff. But at the same time, we could hear the motors roaring.
Splendid. Then the new gyrocosmic relativator works perfectly.
Oh, good for you, Doctor.
Sure, Doctor. It works fine.
How about navigation with it? Any difference?
No, not a bit of difference, Doctor.
Well, then, even if you did deprive us of the privilege of making the first test with it, I'm mighty gratified to know the new gyrocosmic relativator works all right. And now...
Listen, Doctor.
Yes?
Would you please kind of do me a personal favor?
What is it, Barney?
Will you please say the name of this thing over again?
Well, surely.
You see, I started explaining it all out to Willie here.
Yes.
And when I come to telling him its name, it kind of slipped my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it is, Doctor. I always got so many important things to think about all the time that them little detail kind of slipped my mind.
Poor old Barney.
So if you don't mind, would you say it for me just one more, please?
Barney, it's a gyrocosmic relativator.
You hear that, Willie?
Yes, sir. Gyrocosmic relativator.
That's it.
You see, Doctor, didn't I always tell you that my Willie was going to be a great man someday? And that proves it.
Well, now, Barney.
Yeah?
We're having a little trouble down here, and we're badly in need of that ship you're in.
No kidding, Doctor.
Yes. And here's what I want you to do.
Yeah?
Cut off the power right away.
Yes, sir. Power's off, Doctor.
Good. Now, just as soon as we've finished talking, face that ship you're in around and head back for Earth just as fast as you safely can. We'll be waiting for you at the central spaceport.
Okay, Doctor. We'll turn back on the power again and head back for Earth as fast as we can. But would you mind telling me what the trouble is?
Killer Kane.
Kane?
Yes. He and Ardela have escaped.
Say, that's awful.
That's why we need the rocket ship with the relevator.
Well, Doctor, we'll head right back again.
All right, Barney. Signing off.
Yes, sir, signing off. Hear that, Willie?
Yes, sir. Pretty serious, isn't it?
Of course it is. And I guess they don't only need a rocket ship down there.
Huh?
They probably need me, too. When people like Kane and Ardela get loose, Willie, there's going to be a lot of trouble.
Well, then, let's get started back to Earth.
Yes, sir. Hang on for power. Yes, sir. Everywhere they go, there's trouble.
I know it.
Killer Kane's dangerous.
very, very dangerous.
Yes, sir.
Why, if he was to see you coming at him, he'd like as not pull out a rocket pistol or a disintegrator and Bluey, where are you?
Oh, you aren't afraid of him, are you, Mr. Barney?
Oh, me?
Yes, sir. Of
course I ain't. Me afraid of Killer Kane. That's a good big joke, that is.
Well, Barney.
Huh?
I can't tell you how glad I am to know that.
Sure,
you know, listen, you
exactly
must
right, no, Willie. Killer Kane.
Well, with Kane right there aboard Black Barney's rocket ship, things don't look so good. But you're looking pretty good, Popsicle Pete. And where's that song you wrote?
Gosh, I can't think for all these people.
Oh, sure you can. Go ahead. They're all your pals.
All right, here goes. Popsicle, popsicle, fresh fruit ices on a stick. They're so good and they're so big. Popsicle, popsicle, save the bags and get a gift with Popsicle.
Well, that was perfectly terrific, Pete. And everybody loves popsicles. Those great big fresh fruit ices on a handy stick. And the bags are just as good as money for wonderful free gifts. Popsicles are made fresh every day from fine, wholesome ingredients. Doesn't it make your mouth water just to think how good they taste in all those fresh fruit flavors and how long they last? The best, biggest nickel's worth anywhere.
And don't forget, fellas and girls, save those bags from Popsicle, Fudgicle, and Creamsicle. And get those free presents. A camera, a wristwatch, jewelry, fishing tackle, hundreds of swell gifts. You'd better save bags every day.
Buck Rogers in the 25th century.
Buck Rogers is on the air. This program is brought to you by the makers of Popsicle, Fudgicle, and Creamsicle, those delicious frozen confections on a stick. And now a message from the famous fellow who won the contest for the typical American boy, Popsicle Pete.
Hello, fellas and girls. Are you saving up bags for those exciting free presents I told you about? Gee, what wonderful gifts you get. Hundreds of them. Roller skates, telescope, movie camera, doll, bracelet, wallet, table tennis. That's only a few. Just save the bags from Popsicle, Fudgicle, and Creamsicle. Ask at your ice cream store for the free Popsicle gift list. It tells you where to send the bags you save and how many to send. You get a free coupon with it worth 10 bags. That'll get you started fine.
Yes, and here's an idea. Get Mom and Dad eating those wonderful confections, too. They're easy to eat on those handy sticks, and they're easy to digest. They're so pure and fresh and wholesome. And, oh, boy, so delicious. You'll get their bags, too, for those marvelous gifts.
Popsicle, Fudgicle, and Creamsicle are biggest for a nickel. Don't forget that.
Yes, but now let's go on with the amazing adventures of Buck Rogers in the 25th century. In our last episode, you recall, we learned that our old friends, Black Barney and Willie, were the ones who took off in the rocket ship equipped with the new gyrocosmic relativator. And we also know that the arch-criminal, Killer Kane, suddenly appeared there aboard Black Barney's rocket ship. But that last is something that Buck and Wilma and Dr. Hewer don't know. And as we join them, they're simply talking things over in the doctor's laboratory. Shall we join them? Okay, then, here we go, 500 years into the future.
Well, Buck, Wilma?
Yes, Doctor?
At least we know that our rocket plane is in good hands. Yes. And that the new gyrocosmic relativator works all right.
Yes. Barney said when he radioed that he took off at full speed and that he didn't even feel the pull of acceleration.
Well, as long as he's bringing the plane right down again, hadn't we better go over to the spaceport to meet him?
Not much point in going over right away, is there?
Huh?
It took him some time to fly out to wherever he is, and he won't be able to get back any faster.
Yes, Wilma's right. And we can put in good time right here in my laboratory, finding out what was taken by whoever ransacked it.
Yeah. Well, whoever broke in couldn't have been here very long.
What makes you think that, Buck?
Well, for one thing, there doesn't seem to have been much damage done.
Mm-hmm.
A few drawers pulled out on the desks and cabinets, and only a couple of scientific instruments moved from their usual places.
Well, You know what that indicates.
What, Doctor?
Whoever broke in wanted one particular thing.
Yeah.
And didn't have to waste much time in looking for it.
Come to think of it, Doctor, he couldn't have had very much time. It was only a few minutes after we arrived at the spaceport that the captain of the rocket police discovered this had happened.
Exactly. Well, let's look carefully around and find out what, if anything, is missing.
We can certainly be sure of one thing.
What's that?
This was done by Kane and Ardela. No one else would do such a thing.
Yes, and of course they've just escaped from the municipal prison.
Yes, sir. Can't you see what happened? The minute they got out, they realized they'd need equipment. And there was no more logical place for them to try to find it than right here in this laboratory.
Only one of them was here, though, Wilma.
How do you know?
Well, Police Information Bureau said that when they made their break, Kane and Ardela separated.
Uh-huh.
And what's more, a private citizen saw just one person take off in a rocket roadster from the neighborhood of this laboratory.
Buck, could he identify that person?
No, sir. He was too far away. But he's absolutely sure there was only one.
Well, maybe we aren't right after all.
Huh?
About it being Kane and Ardela. They usually stick pretty close together. And just getting out of prison would be all the more reason for doing so.
Except that one of them might have come here to get something, while the other tried to lay hands on a rocket ship.
Yes.
Well, we're wasting time just standing around here talking about it. Let's look around and see if anything's missing. Buck.
Yes, sir?
Look through that chest there against the wall and make sure that my bound copies of the formula for...
All right, sir.
Wait a minute.
Yes, sir?
The instrument devised by Professor Smith, the mad scientist.
Huh?
The instrument that subjugated people to his willpower when he used it on them.
The psychic restriction ray?
Yes.
Why, it was right over there in that corner. Back of where Wilma's standing.
Well, it's not here now.
Well, then we must look for it quickly. An instrument like that in the hands of a man like Kane.
Don't I know it.
Quick, open every cabinet and locker in the place.
Right,
okay, Doctor.
With his mad desire for power, why, Kane would use that instrument on everybody he could lay his hands on. No sign of it yet?
Not that I can see, Doctor.
But there must be.
Nothing over here, Doctor.
Well, then suppose you look back in the stockroom, Buck. Perhaps I left the instrument in there.
Yes, sir.
Are you absolutely sure you had it here in your laboratory, Doctor?
Yes, Wilma, absolutely sure. Well, Buck, is it in there?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Well, then,
no,
look
sir.
Here.
That's what he took, all right.
Well, listen, what we've got to do. The first thing is to report to the President that we're all ready to set out after Kane and Ardela.
Which, of course, we'll do the minute Black Barney gets our rocket plane back here.
Yes, and we'll need all the information we can get from the rocket police relative to their escape from the municipal prison.
I'll take care of that, Doctor.
And I'll radio the President's office.
Good. We'll go out to the spaceport and meet Barney with our ship.
But, Doctor, is that a good ship for chasing Kane and Ardela?
No, Buck, no. We'll have the gyrocosmic relativator from it installed on a fast-fighting cruiser.
Right. Wilma, the call letters for police information are 413.
Okay, Buck.
Calling X-38.
Wilma Deering calling
Buck
413.
Buck Rogers calling X-38.
Calling
413.
Wilma Deering
Buck
calling
Rogers calling X-38.
Yes, Barney. I can't begin to tell you how nice it is to be with you again.
Say now, you listen here now to me, Killer Kane.
And Willie.
Yes, sir?
Some time since I've seen you, too.
Listen, Kane. What's your idea of stowing away on my rocket ship, huh? If you think you're going to get away with
it... Stand back.
But I tell you...
Stand back. Yeah. Don't you know by this time that occasionally my trigger finger gets a bit nervous? And Barney... A rocket pistol isn't very pleasant at this close range.
Please, you wouldn't shoot Mr. Barney, would you?
Of course not, Willie. Unless he were to make the serious mistake of trying to oppose me. Now, look here.
Yeah, well, what do you want?
A minute ago, you spoke of my having stowed away on your rocket ship.
Yeah.
Your rocket ship. Surely you don't pretend that you were clever enough to have installed a device like this.
You mean that, gyro thing?
Barney. How many times must you be told that it's a gyrocosmic relativator?
Mr. Barney can say that word, Mr. Kane. And don't you believe he can't either.
Yeah, sure.
Well, the fact remains that neither the ship nor the relativator belongs to you. Am I right?
Well, it's sort of this way.
Don't try to stall, Barney. You and Willie committed a very serious offense by taking off in this ship without proper authority.
When we talked to Dr. Hewer by radio, he said it was all right, Mr. Kane.
Yeah, and all we need to do is fly back with it.
Yes.
Told you it's all right, eh?
Yes, sir.
And when you merrily land at the Central Spaceport, you forget all about the fact that you ran off with the greatest invention he ever turned out. Not one bit of it.
What do you mean?
The minute you set foot on the ground there at the Niagara Spaceport, you will find yourself surrounded by rocket police, ready to throw you into chains.
No, sir. I bet you.
What excuse have you for stealing this rocket ship, Barney?
We didn't. We just took it on a test flight for the gyro thing, so Lieutenant Wilmer, Captain Rogers, and Dr. Ure wouldn't have to take no chances with it.
You expect them to believe a story like that?
It's the truth. That's what it is.
Yes, sir, it's the truth.
Yeah, and I tell you, you're crazy to think that you can get away with any such childish excuse, truth or not. Now, if you have any sense, instead of going back to Niagara to trouble, you'll come along with me.
Huh?
You know, there was a time, Barney, when you were not only willing but anxious to work with me. And if I remember correctly, you were always well paid for doing it.
Well, that's the times I want to forget, when I didn't know no better than be an air pirate.
At that time, you had a stronghold full of treasure that would have been the envy of all nations. You had gold, power. Have those things again, Barney, my boy. If you'll use your head and come along with our Dela and me.
Don't you know that I've outgrown all that sort of stuff?
That's your misfortune, Barney. Now, as an air pirate, you were quite a success, weren't you?
Yeah, sure I was.
But what happened? You got silly and sentimental listening to Wilman Deering stuff your empty head full of ideas about reforming and going straight.
Hey, don't you say nothing against Lieutenant Wilmer.
Get back.
All right.
Now, what has it got you? Nothing.
Mr. Barney's the Prime Minister of Mars, don't forget.
Yeah, that's right.
Prime Minister of Mars?
Yeah.
What does that make me? King of Pluto?
It's a big job, Mr. Kane. Why, if Mr. Barney wasn't their prime minister, I don't know what the Martian people would do.
Yeah.
You just ask King Analdo what he thinks of Mr. Barney.
Yeah.
That doddering old fool? Why, just to show you how helpless he is, I may go up there to Mars one of these days and establish a headquarters.
Not if I got anything to say about it. No, sir.
No, sir.
You won't have anything to say about it, Barney. Unless some sudden and unexpected flash of intelligence leads you to team up with me.
I don't know what you're up to, Kane, and I don't care no matter what it is.
No, Barney?
But no matter what it is, me and Willie ain't gonna have nothing to do with it.
Unfortunately, you're going to change your mind about that, Barney. And very shortly.
You're crazy. There's nothing to make me change my mind about that. Not even nothing.
No, sir.
Well, we'll see. This rocket ship is headed back in the general direction of Earth, isn't it?
Sure. Can't you tell by looking on the viewplate of the teleradioscope or by looking out of one of the forward windows?
No sarcasm, Barney. Move out of that control seat.
No, sir. I'm taking this ship back to the Central Spaceport.
Do I have to keep waving this rocket pistol at you to show you that I mean business?
Okay. Go ahead and sit in the control seat.
On second thought, though, I believe I'll let you do the work of navigation.
Huh?
Now, I want you to land us near the ruins of the ancient city of Philadelphia.
Philadelphia?
There we'll meet our Dela. You see, Barney, before she left Niagara, she made a stop at the laboratory of your dear friend, Dr. Hewer. And picked up a rather interesting scientific instrument.
What are you talking about?
I have a sneaking suspicion it'll help you come around to my point of view. As a matter of fact, Barney, I'm sure of it.
Well, sir, I certainly hate to hear Kane say that.
because it can mean only one thing. Killer Kane plans to put Black Barney under the psychic restriction ray that Ardalis stole from Dr. Hewer's laboratory. And that ray will completely subjugate Barney to Kane's will. Well, now, Pete, how about some refreshment? What do you say to a great big ice-cold creamsicle on a stick?
Oh, boy. Ice cream in the middle and thick chocolate fudge outside?
That's right. Creamy chocolate fudge or tempting fresh fruit flavors. Take your choice. Creamsicles are all 5 cents. All delicious, nourishing, wholesome. Made fresh every day under the strictest pure food laws and protected by U.S. registered trademarks.
And listen, pals, don't forget to save your creamsicle bags for these wonderful gifts, like a camera, table tennis, a wristwatch, wallet, baseball, sleeping dolls. Get your free illustrated gift list in your ice cream store.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.